Welcome to the Breathing God podcast. I'm your host, Gretchen Rodriguez. I am sitting on my couch pondering such beautiful things with Jesus, and I thought, you know, this would be a great time to invite you to come sit with me. Let's talk about the Lord. I mean, okay, honestly, if we were together, I wouldn't be doing all the talking, but let's sit together. And I just want to share the things that he's been speaking to my heart. And I hope that they encourage you, and I hope that they fan the flames of love in your heart the way the Lord has been doing for me. I mentioned, I think, in the last podcast that at that time I had just come out of a silent retreat of 8.5 days. And at that point, it had only been 3 days since I came out of the retreat. It has been just over 2 weeks now since I've finished the retreat. And I have to tell you guys, I'm still a wreck in the most beautiful way. God's love is everything. And I know that those of you who follow this podcast, you do so because your hearts are longing for him. You, even though, you know, we all go through seasons where life is hard and we get distracted, and maybe we feel that God is distant or we don't feel his presence as strongly as we have in other seasons. We all go through those times. But God is drawing us to his presence, to the reality of his love, the reality, the tangible reality of his love that he wants us to experience and live with at all times. And so that then when you do go through hard times, when we do go through times where we're distracted, it's so much easier to come back to that reality and to hear him and to feel him. But I want to read this scripture. I was thinking about this scripture today, and then I want to talk about it a bit. A scripture that most of us probably know, Psalm 27:4. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. One thing, it says, one thing I have desired, and that I will seek. If God really is our first love, our one thing, our everything, our life, you know, then that means that everything else in our life is secondary. And that doesn't mean that other aspects of our life are unimportant, right? But he is our one thing. He is our one thing. Everything else about our lives, food, friends, fellowship, whatever, everything is secondary. You know, I'm thinking of, what is it? Is it Matthew 6:33? Sorry, guys, I don't have it in front of me, but I'm just thinking of the verse that says, seek first the kingdom of God and everything else will be added unto you. And I'm going to be honest, like that scripture, man, I remember for years, people would always quote that to me, you know, and I hear it so often. I think we've all heard it so often in teaching. And it kind of just felt like a, I don't know, it didn't move my heart. And I think it's because for me, it feels very, I don't know, seeking his kingdom doesn't have the same, what's the word I'm looking for? Like the same motivation to me as when I think of it in a way of let God and God's ways be what drives our lives, let him and his ways be what we seek after. Like, this becomes our one thing. And when he becomes our one thing, all we want to do is spend time with him. All we want to do is focus on him. There's something about dwelling in his house. I say that in a way where, to me, I'm thinking of the awareness of his presence that's right with us. There's something about beholding the beauty of the Lord in our hearts that so captivates us that we can't really look away. And I was thinking about some people who, well, let me say this first. If we keep first things first, if he is our one thing, if he is our first love, if he is our everything, if we're going to keep first things first, spending our lives for him, living sold out for him, consumed with him, loving him, if he becomes our all, then all these other secondary things fall into place. But we spend so much time focused on the secondary things. I mean, don't you agree? I really wish that sometimes that you guys were sitting here and we were having a conversation. I think we do. I think we know in our heads and in our hearts that him, keeping him first in our lives will change everything, but yet it hasn't become so alive in our hearts that we truly are seeking not just him first as in first in our day, but to where we really believe that his presence, his voice, his nearness, his love is our passion. It's like we're not going after him to know him. We don't really, really believe that if we just pour our lives out living for him and loving him, that everything else will fall into place. So we chase after all of these other things and we're losing our first love. That fire that once burned in our heart begins to dim. And I don't want that fire to dim, not for me and not for you. And maybe you feel today like, hey, that actually is me. I do feel like my fire is dimming. And I remember, I really don't remember if I wrote it in a book or what I wrote it for, but I wrote this and it says, Lord, breathe upon my heart. Though it burst into 1,000 flames, I will embrace each moment. When you feel like the embers of your heart are just barely smoking, you can ask him to breathe on your heart. You can say, Lord, ignite the passionate fire in me, either that I once had or maybe you've never had it, but you want it. Just the fact that you want that gives you opportunity to take it to the Lord, because he is the one who gives you that desire. And so there's no way that he's going to stir your heart and then deny you. If you feel your heart stirred for deeper intimacy with the Lord, it's because he's doing the stirring. He's drawing you to himself. He's gently blowing on the embers of your heart. And so now you fan the flame by saying yes. You fan the flame by coming into his presence, kneeling, worshiping. Somebody asked me the other day, what do you do when your thoughts are looping and you really can't stop? And I've talked about having looping thoughts so many times on our podcast. And I said, that's a great question. What do I do practically to make those thoughts stop? Really, I think number one, you give yourself something else to think about. But what I have found to be the most powerful, and this is for me, it may be different for you guys, but what I have found is I get a really good worship song, one that I know really moves my heart and pours out love to God. So it isn't a song like, you know, it isn't like a praise song about tearing down the walls and casting out the enemy. It isn't a song about how he defends me, even though I love that Rita Springer song, or comes to my rescue. It's a song of love. I love you, God. I surrender all. Or, anyway, a real worship song. And I put it on and I sing out loud. No distractions, not looking at the video, because I usually do things on YouTube, watch worship videos on YouTube. I don't look at it. I just sing out loud. And I stay in that position until I feel his presence. So it may take me an hour of singing out loud, but I am going to sing out loud and I'm going to worship him. And then all of a sudden, you feel the switch. You feel something change inside of your heart and you go, oh, there he is. And it isn't that he's left, right? He's never left. He's there with you. You just get distracted. You just forget the first love. You just get distracted from the one thing. And I can't stop thinking about, oh goodness, so many things. But one of them is, you probably have never heard this, most of you. I had never heard of it. And so far, the people I've talked to haven't heard of it either. But there used to be something in the 1200s and the 1300s called an anchor hold. And it was a room where a man, an anchorite, or a woman, an anchoress, would live their lives in absolute and total seclusion in something called an anchor hold. It was a room that was built onto a church, a very small room. And I think it was like a priest or something had to give them permission to do this. They had extensive meetings, counseling sessions, so to speak, finding out the condition of this person's heart to know if they really, really could do this. And they would live in four walls. Essentially, they were just dead to the world. They would live out the rest of their lives in seclusion. And if they ever chose to change their mind and say, let me out, they would be excommunicated. It was a huge thing. And back then, you know, your livelihood, your identity, it was very connected to the church. So to be excommunicated from church isn't the same as how we would look at it today. Like it was a big deal. It was a very big deal. So these women or men, I'll just say women right now since I'm a woman, she would go in, and when the time came for her to separate herself from the world and live as an anchoress, she would go in and lay down on the floor. And they would have a ceremony, and really they would kind of give her a memorial. And she would lay on the floor of her new home and they would put dirt on her. I don't know that they necessarily covered her. I think it was, you know, more of a symbolic death, obviously, but they would just put dirt on her to symbolize that she was now dead to the world and the world was dead to her, and she was going to live for God alone. And then they would, if there was a door that led into this room, they would then go out and nail it shut with boards. Or if there wasn't a door, sometimes they would just build three walls, wait for her to go in, and then build the fourth wall. It's my understanding that they would build that fourth wall with the bricks just a little bit loose in case she wanted to get out or whatever. And there were three windows. One window was called a squint. It was a very narrow window that would look into the church so that she could see the service and so that somebody could bring her Holy Communion. And one was for her maids that would take care of her and bring her food. And I think that window also served as like for her, you know, the priest or the confessor, whatever they would call it, to counsel her and speak to her and pray for her or whatever. And then there was a third window that looked out into the world, but it was covered by a black curtain with a white cross. And people could come and sit outside that window and hear her counsel, get her prayers, hear her wisdom, whatever. And that was all she had. That was her only connection. And You know, when I first heard about this, it was very recently, actually during my silent retreat, I heard about this and I thought, that's intense. Like, that's extreme. And I thought, why would somebody actually want to do that? And I'm going to be honest with you guys, ever since this retreat, I can understand why someone would do that. When he becomes our all, when everything about us yearns and longs to know him more, and you begin to just feel that and know that this is what you want, I can see why someone would say, I just need him. That's what I need. I don't want to be distracted by these worldly things. I don't want it anymore. I can see why someone would lock themselves up in a room and spend the rest of their lives dead to the world. But that is not the best way to go about it. That is not God's way. And I have no idea how the idea of that even came about. But as I was thinking about it, I thought, you know, that really is, we're called to live that way right now. Like right now, we are called to live as an anchoress or an anchorite. There's an area in our hearts, the deepest holy place of our hearts, that is reserved for no one but the Lord alone. And he alone holds the key. You know, I'm thinking of Song of Songs. I don't have the scripture in front of me, but where he calls us his garden enclosed. That's us. And that reminds me of the anchor hold, that room. We are his garden. We are the delight of his heart. In whatever condition you find yourself in today, whether you are just lovesick and overwhelmed with his presence, or whether you are just so dry and so weary and distracted, you still move his heart. Because truly, I believe each one of you longs for him. And your desire moves his heart. And all you have to do is cry out, Lord, breathe upon my heart. Breathe upon my heart, Lord. Breathe upon my heart, right? Did I already read that script that, did I read it to you already? I'm sorry, guys. I actually had started recording this and I got a phone call because I'm on my phone recording it and it kicked me out. So I'm not sure if I read this to you, but if I have, forgive me. But I wrote this, I don't know if it's in one of my books or not. And again, sorry if I'm repeating myself. Lord, breathe upon my heart. Though it burst into 1,000 flames, I will embrace each moment. And even if I am reiterating it, it's because that's what God has for you. He wants to blow upon your heart. He wants your heart to be inflamed with love to where you are so on fire. And it doesn't have to be a passionate jumping up and down, screaming, you know, in church, getting everyone's attention kind of fire. This is a fire that burns steady and pure. This is a fire within us that we tend to. We tend to the oil in our lamp. We do. Nothing else matters more than being fully his. Nothing. He's called us to be priests unto him, to minister to him first and foremost, to pour out our love to him first and foremost. And you don't have to be, you know, a priest ordained or whatever from the church. He's called you aside to minister to him, to love him, to worship him, to pour out our lives for him. And then from that fullness and from his direction, his unction, we pour out to others. We pour out of our fullness. That's what the anchoress or the anchorite would do. People would come to receive their counsel because they were spending so much time with God that they were so full of his love that they could pour out. Isn't that just so beautiful? And I thought, Lord, I want to live that way. I want to live my life consumed with thoughts of him, consumed with desire for him. And when I get distracted, when you get distracted, that we can easily come back to this place of his love. And so I know some of you right now are listening and you're thinking, ugh, I want that too. I want to be so consumed with love for God that he really is my one thing, and that I dwell in the awareness of his house, like we read in Psalm 27, the awareness of his presence. You are the house of God. You are the ark of God, so to speak. You know, the ark of the covenant in the tabernacle, in the most holy place that housed the, so to speak, the presence of God. It was wood and it was covered in gold. Wood represents humanity. It's a symbol of us. We are the ones, these human frail vessels, covered in gold, just like the ark, covered in his glory and also filled with his glory. We house the presence of God. We are his dwelling place. But if we're not aware of that, how could we ever live that way? He wants to counsel us. He wants to speak to us even more than we want to hear. And some of us, we long to hear, we long to see, and he wants it for us even more. And I've been talking to, just praying for some people lately and talking to them about even just my silent retreat and what God's done in me. I mean, I'm not the same person that I was when I went in. And I don't ever want to be that person. And not like there was anything wrong or I was living in sin or anything like that. It just, God wants to take us, every one of us, into a deeper relationship, into a deeper awareness of the reality of his love and his presence in us. There's always more to know of him. There's always deeper levels. And I've been talking to people about this, and some of them are like, yeah, I want to do that silent retreat too. And so, I mean, maybe that's you. And if it is, feel free to reach out to me on my through my website. And not because you're just curious. Like, if you're like, yes, I'm going to do this. Yes, I'm actually going to go away for 9 days. Be alone with God and do a silent retreat. You don't want to just be quiet and sit by yourself for 9 days. There's a kind of an easier, quote unquote, way to do it. And if you are very, very serious about doing this, you can contact me through my website and I can connect you to the nun who I did it with. I won't get into all those details. Please don't contact me just because you're curious, because I don't want to waste her time. She's a beautiful 80-year-old nun, and I don't want to waste her time. So I'm just throwing that out there just because I know that those of you who are listening to this podcast, your heart is yearning for these deeper things. And even if you can't get away to do a silent retreat, change your schedule. If you already wake up at 4 a.m. and you're like, I can't wake up earlier, I actually just heard something like a month ago about this teacher at school, and he said he already wakes up at 4:00 a.m. to take his kids to school and then to get to his school. But he was determined that he was going to spend time with God beforehand. So he gets up at like 2:30 a.m. actually. So I couldn't do that. I don't know if any of you could, but my point is, rearrange your schedule. Let him be your first love once again. And I promise you, it's going to change your life. Spend more time with him. Turn off the TV earlier and spend the evenings with him if you have to do that. Get up earlier in the morning if you have to do that. There is so much beauty and transformation in the Lord's presence. And I know that we are meant to live this way, fully His, fully surrendered, consecrated to Him more than anything else, dead to this world, like the anchoress says. And like Galatians 2:20 says, right? I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, it's Christ who lives in me. He wants you to live your life in the most pure, in the purest way you can, fully connected to Him, fully aware of Him, pouring out as He leads you. Everything else is secondary. Even ministry is secondary. I don't want to be more excited about what I do for Him, that loving Him, pouring out my life for Him, isn't as exciting. No, I want to be more excited about Him than anything else, and I believe you do too. So I've said a lot in here, and I just want to remind you again, never feel shame if you have been dry. Never feel shame. Let your heart cry in repentance. Grieve any sin. Grieve disconnection, sure. Lay it before Him, but it isn't shame that you want to feel. Because with repentance, with this cry of, yes, God, all for you, I want you more than anything, comes forgiveness when you ask for Him. And it also comes that fresh breath, that breathe upon my heart, Lord, right? And the reason I said, though it burst into 1,000 flames, I will embrace each moment, is because I don't care if everything about my life, all these secondary things, just burn away like ash. Because He will reach into that ash heap and He will pull out the things that are beautiful and pure and holy, that survive the fire. So let's bring our lives before Him and invite Him to do a work in our hearts where we are fully consecrated to Him, fully surrendered to Him, where we can say one thing I have desired of the Lord, and that will I seek. Let Him be your one thing. Let the awareness of His presence be your one thing. Nothing else matters more than Him. And I believe that it's time for all of us to start making some changes, to start simplifying our lives, cutting out a lot of these distractions, even podcasts. Even if my podcast is a distraction that pulls you away from God, don't listen to it. Facebook, Instagram. How many hours are you on your phone? How many hours are you watching TV? How many hours are you listening to podcasts, even if it's teachings? You guys, it's not enough to know about Him. It's not enough to hear messages. Run to Him. Run to Him. Be with Him every single day. It is time that we live our lives as the people He has called us to be. You are His garden enclosed. You are the one who He believes carries His fragrance, because you do. You may have forgotten it. It's time to be with Him again. Not just to visit Him, but to live in the reality of His love. Pouring out our love, because there is no greater call. Love you guys.
Thank you for joining me on the Breathing God podcast. If this show has ministered to you, please consider leaving a review right here. And if you think the podcast will bless someone else, please share it. You can find help for anxiety, sign up for my newsletter, and find lots of other goodies on my website, GretchenRodriguez.com.